turn in it and wait until the red light goes on.
Right.
And then when you're done, you just hit the red button again. So, and it will pick up. This room is really good for recording. It's a lot better than the other room. So I'll come back up. I was going to get the camera, and I didn't do that. So I will come back up about, is it all right if we take a picture of you?
Yes. Sure.
I could do that right now if you want me to. We'll get out and get the camera.
That's fine.
You want me to do that?
Sure.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, Nicole and
Bergen.
Bergen.
Yes.
Is that Swedish or
Norwegian?
Norwegian.
Yep.
Okay.
We have a form. You sign just the interview release form.
Sure. What is this?
The 8th? Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure.
So how has your day been?
Well, interesting. This morning, I'm in my second day of my retirement, one of my retirement careers, pricing books for the Planned Parenthood book sale, which is fascinating. Have you ever donated books to the book sales?
No. The
place where you donate is down on University across the river.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite across the river, close to the river. And so we've always taken books there, and we put them in the chute, and they go down the rollers, and we never see them again. But they are so well organized. They have all different categories of books, and somebody puts them on the tables in the categories where they're going to be sorted, and... And I'm just brand new to this. I'm still an intern because there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun, I think.
Oh, good.
And if we want to buy a book, we can ask somebody else to price it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can buy it. We can't price our own books and buy them. So I've already bought 3 books. This is only my second time, and I've already bought 3 books.
Oh.
So it's fun. And I've seen some people that I have known through the years.
That's always exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to take a picture?
Yeah, I could do.
Oh, you want to take it?
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
I thought you meant
should
okay.
It be, should I be in it?
I don't know.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Cute.
Thank you. Okay. Are we done? Okay.
Yeah, I'll just put you. Well, that wasn't the interview yet.
I understand. How was your day? That was the introductory part.
Yeah. Is this on?
Yeah, it's been on for like 3 minutes.
There's a red light.
Yes.
Okay.
So you got the part about my book sales.
Okay,
that's all right.
Check. Okay, starting. My name is Bergen Quarna, and I'm with Nicole Barnett. We are at the conference room in Cowles Library. Today is November 8th, 2011, and we are interviewing Ruth Ann Petrak. Okay. Tell us a little bit about where you were born and raised.
I was born and raised in Des Moines. And attended public schools here, and then attended Drake University while I was still living at home.
Yeah, you can't do that now.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your high school and where you attended high school.
I attended Oak Park Elementary, Harding Junior High, now they call them middle schools, and North High School. And at North High, I was editor of the paper, and I was on the synchronized swimming team. Those were interesting experiences.
Why did you choose Drake University?
I think the main reason probably was because it was close to my home, and it seemed my parents and I did some calculating. They did most of the calculating, and it seemed like I could live at home and pay the little bit higher tuition less expensively than going somewhere else. But I've never been sorry.
Did you have definite career aspirations upon entering Drake?
I still don't.
Yeah.
I am kind of a generalist. I want to know a little bit about everything in the whole wide universe. And so I did not know what I wanted to major in. Even when I came to register for my junior year and had to declare a major. And so in those days we registered in the field house. There were no computers then. We all walked into the field house and there were signs hanging down from the roof or the ceiling. This is history here and philosophy and music and I don't know what all. And I saw one that said journalism. And I thought, oh, well, I was the editor of my high school paper, so I'll go talk to those people. And it seemed like a good fit for me. And my major professor, head of the department, and practically the whole show was Robert Bliss. And he pointed out to me that if you major in journalism, then anything you want to minor in will count. You can minor in all kinds of different subjects and get a taste of everything, because to be a journalist is to have to know something about a lot of different fields. And so that sounded like a good plan.
What was your first day of classes like?
Oh, I don't even remember. I graduated from high school in mid-year. Back in the day, Des Moines had mid-year kindergarten starting in January, and then we graduated in January 18 years later or whatever. Well, it'll be 12 years later. And so I started to Drake in what was the second semester and missed out on a lot of the freshman orientation and stuff like that. So I just started going to classes. So I'm trying to think what classes I took that first semester. Freshman English. That was not memorable. I don't remember what else.
Okay. Do you recall a favorite professor?
Several.
Several? Who are they?
Well, Bob Bliss. I already mentioned him. He was a dear, dear person. There was a fellow who was Howlett. He was a history professor. I enjoyed his classes. George, he was the head of the biology department. Can't even think of his last name. Isn't that terrible? George somebody.
Okay.
I enjoyed his class. I almost changed my major, in fact. I was so fascinated with biology because I didn't take biology in high school. And so I thought, oh, wow, this is what I want to do. No, well, maybe not. let's see, some others. William Rees was a philosophy professor and took several philosophy courses.
Do you remember anything specific that any of those people did for you?
Well, I've already told you what the biology professor did. Almost made me change my major. Philosophy, I've had a lifelong interest in philosophy and I've continued reading in that. I'm a lifelong learner. I expect to die with a book in my hand. I guess all the courses that I took that made an impression on me, I've continued to be interested in that, in those fields.
Upon entering Drake, did you feel that you were prepared for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah. I was a straight-A student in high school, and I thought, this will be easy. But it was pretty easy.
Can you tell us about some events that are especially memorable?
Well, yeah, I was chosen to receive an honor from Alpha Lambda Delta. Is there still such a thing on campus? It was a freshman honor society. And so I was the recipient of a nice book of poetry, which I still use. I still have that and still read poetry out of it. So that was an honor. I was selected in my junior year for what became Mortarboard. Back in those days, it was Margaret Fuller Siv and Shears, which was the, there were two different women's honor societies, and then later they combined and became what was known as the Mortarboard Society. So I was selected for that. I was hired, they actually paid me to be editor of the Times Delphic. Phi Beta Kappa. That's enough.
So what groups slash activities around Drake were you involved in? You already mentioned a couple, but do you have any, do you remember any like specific events that you were involved in with them?
I was a member of a group that was called Town Girls, which is pretty self-explanatory, I guess. I was not interested in the Greek aspect of campus, and so I never went out for rush or anything. Didn't want to do that, but there were several of us who lived in town, and we met in what's now Morehouse Dorm. I don't know which direction I am here, but anyway, the one across the street from the library. We had a room that we reserved every Monday evening and met there, and we built a float one year for the Relays Parade. Mm-hmm. Made some good friends there.
What was Town Girls? Because we don't have that anymore.
It was just a campus organization for women who lived off campus.
Okay. What things did you do outside of Drake?
Well, because I lived at home, mm-hmm. I was still involved in my own church, and during the time that I was a student, I got married, mm-hmm. and so had a social life with, you know, my husband's friends and my friends and our friends. So I was probably not as involved in campus life because I didn't live on campus.
Describe a relationship between you and a close friend from Drake.
She and I worked on the Times Delphic together. I was the editor and she was the managing editor, but we were really a team that worked together. And I have stayed in touch with her over the years. Her family lived in Des Moines for a long time, and her parents are both gone now, and her brothers and sister don't live here anymore, so I don't see her as often. She lives in Boulder, Colorado, but we still stay in touch. And we're very close friends for a long time. But friendships change as your situation changes.
Share a special story of dating, a dance, or a sporting event.
Well, I wasn't dating because the guy I was engaged to was in the Army. This was during the Korean War. We didn't call it a war. It was a Korean police action or something like that, because Congress has to declare a war, and they didn't do that, so we went to war anyway. So he was gone for most of that time. So I wasn't dating anybody else, obviously. And what were the other categories?
Like a dance or a sporting event.
Relays.
Relays.
Yeah, used to go to relays and used to go to the basketball games. The sports editor of the Times Delphic helped me understand what to look for in a basketball game. And I would sit there beside him and he would tell me what the different plays were and what was going to happen and what had just happened. So most of that I've forgotten, but at the time it made sense to me.
Tell us about your memories of your graduation ceremony.
Very dim. Mm. I don't remember who the commencement speaker was. I guess the ceremony was held in the field house, probably. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember who was the speaker. It made a big impression on me.
Did you ever live in the dorms, or did you always live at home?
No, lived at home. First my parents' home, and then after I got married, my husband and I had an apartment.
After you left Drake, what did you do?
Well, my first job out of Drake was with the Des Moines Register. I was in what was then called the women's department. They wouldn't get away with that now. It's it's the section that morphed into Iowa Life. We had recipes, and we had child care advice, and we had beauty advice, but also feature stories. And I started out just doing editing of the advice columns and marking them up for a bold face here and subheadline here and stuff. But then later I had what was probably my most fun job at the Register was interviewing folks for photo essay type things. We would go out, a photographer and I would go out together, and they were all he's then, would take the pictures, and I would learn about the situation, and whether it was somebody that raised a beautiful gladioli or somebody that had model train collection, or you know, just any kind of interesting feature. And it was my job to find folks who fit those different categories in all the parts of the state. Back in those days, the Des Moines Register was a statewide newspaper. And so I was supposed to go to the northwest corner 1 week and this northeast corner another week, and 5 different categories. Ended up then with one in central Iowa, and then we would start over and go all over the state. That was fascinating. Met a lot of interesting people that way.
After that, what did you do?
Started a family, and so I did some freelancing. I edited materials for one of the professors in the education department. He, as all professors are, supposed to write articles for publication, and he was not good at that. And I won't name who it was. So he asked Professor Bliss to suggest someone who could help him with that. And so I could do that. I would come and meet with him and get the materials, and then I would take them home because I had kids at home, you know, and edit them and then bring them back to him. And I greatly improved them, if I say so myself. And I also did some freelance writing for United Methodist junior high curriculum materials. They called it junior high then, so that's what it was.
If you were to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
Not get married so young. That would be one thing. I don't think I've changed much of anything about my education. I think I got a really good education at Drake. But I also have come to believe that you can receive what you're looking for. If you don't apply yourself, and if you don't care whether you learn something or not, you won't learn. But if you're interested and want to pursue knowledge, you can probably get a good education anywhere. Which fits in with my philosophy of lifelong learning.
Mm-hmm. Jumping back to something you said earlier with the Korean conflict, how did that affect Drake University? Did it?
Probably took some potential students away because there was a draft then, so probably some of the people were drafted. What I remember more is the impact on Drake of World War II veterans who came back using the GI Bill of Rights. And so there were a lot of veterans of World War II that were still here when I was here.
Were there any other impacts from world events that influenced your, or influenced Drake University at the time you were there?
Eleanor Roosevelt came here to talk one time. That's one of the highlights of my whole life.
Right. How was that like?
It was amazing. It was amazing. She had a funny voice. Have you ever heard a recording of her? But she was the most awesome woman I think I ever knew. I didn't know her. I think I ever encountered in real life, you know. So,
do you remember where it was held?
At what was then called University Christian Church. Now it's First Christian.
Okay. Is that close to campus?
Yeah, right across the street from...
It's by Drake Center.
Yeah. So that was quite outstanding. And also, Harry Belafonte came here 1 year. He was just beginning to become famous, and whoever was in charge of the Miss Drake, or whatever they called it, the Drake Relay's Queen or something or other, they're five finalists, and because he was in town, I guess, when that was happening, why he was invited to judge the finalist. And then also another reporter and I got to interview him, so that was pretty awesome, too.
Do you have any advice for today's graduating seniors?
Good luck finding a job.
Right.
Keep on learning, I guess. It's a big world out there, and there are so many things to know and so much to get involved in. Mm-hmm. Do some kind of community service. I guess that would be another piece of advice that I would give. Get involved in your community, wherever you are, and try to make a little difference. Can't change the world, but you can make some difference.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is there anything that... Okay, well, we already asked if there was anything that you would have changed. Is that also?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is there anything that you regret doing or regret not doing?
Regret not doing? You mean during my years at Drake?
Right.
I don't think so. There were always more things to do than I had time to do, which is probably the case anybody that's interested in a lot of different things. I don't think I have any regrets.
That's good.
Oh, another person who became famous, he wasn't famous, but Cheryl Milnes, the Metropolitan Opera star, was a student here at the same time that I was.
Oh, did you ever...
Yeah, we knew who each other were.
Yeah,
because he was a rising star in the music, wasn't a department, College of Music, is that what they call it? Fine arts now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the editor of the paper, so I think maybe I interviewed
him
once or something, but he wasn't famous then, so I didn't know, oh, wow, I'm interviewing Cheryl Mills. But through the years, he's come back here to present concerts sometimes, and I always go up and say hi, and he seems to remember me.
Oh. Do you come back to Drake often?
Well, I'm a member of the Ray Society now. I joined that a few years ago, so I come to campus for those classes. I came here for my 25th class reunion and my 50th. Haven't come for all the reunions, but at my 50th reunion, I was the one who drew the... Or I don't know how it was drawn. Anyway, I got the free tickets for the whole relays for that spring. So we sat in the rain a couple of days. And but it was nice a couple of days, and it was rainy a couple of days. So we went to that. But, no, I don't. I'm not really heavily involved in campus other than the Ray Society because my life has gone off in a lot of different directions. And, so have other things I'm doing now.
Could you tell us a little bit about how campus has changed physically since then?
As I was walking from that parking lot over there on the south side of University by 31st or 29th or 30th or whatever it is, I was thinking the campus ended about there. The dormitory that I spoke of, Morehouse Dorm, that was the farthest west that anything was. That was on the west side of what was in 28th Street, which is now a walkway. And then the library was here, but it was not nearly what it is now. Then there was a women's gym just north of the library building. I don't know what direction I'm pointing, so north of the women's gym. There was another building, which was called the women's gym. And then across the street from that was the student center. I don't know what that is now. Is that a dorm now?
Across
the street north
of the library.
Yeah.
Well, if we would be north of the library, that'd be like...
Yeah, it's a dorm.
It's a dorm.
Is it Jewett?
It's Jewett.
Oh, yeah.
Jewett, okay.
Yeah.
And is there still a student center in the basement?
The student center is now in Olmsted.
In Olmsted. Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, I do come to things at Olmsted a lot of times, but it's events sponsored by groups that I'm a part of, not necessarily sponsored by Dre.
Right.
Okay, well, back in the day, the student center was in the basement of Jewett Dorm, and it was called the Kennel. Bulldog Kennel. Oh, get it? And so a lot of people would gather down there, and smoking was allowed back in those days. And it didn't even particularly bother me. I wouldn't even go into a room that was full of smoke now. And a memory I have of that is there was a congressional hearing. Have you heard of Senator McCarthy? Okay, and his downfall came when he was called before a senatorial committee, and he was asked some questions that exposed his really extremism, mm-hmm. really right-wing extremist views. And that was all televised. And so we would gather in the kennel, and there was a television set there, a little bitty one, black and white, and we would all sit there and watch the Army McCarthy hearings, as they were called. Okay, what else? Administration building was Old Main, mostly mm-hmm. offices in those days. That wonderful reception area was not there up above the, you know, on the second level. Mm-hmm. Cheslow Auditorium needed major renovation, which it has now received. Carnegie Hall and Cole Hall and Howard Hall. There was no fine arts building. Howard Hall was the fine arts building in those days.
That's across the way.
Yeah, and I've come to concerts there, too. And where Meredith Hall is now, mm-hmm. there were a couple of leftover World War II temporary buildings, which were frame buildings.
Okay.
One of them was called New York Hall. I forget what the other one was called. And that was where the journalism department was, in one of those rickety buildings.
Meredith is still, primarily where the journalism...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's an accident. They right. tore down they tore down New York Hall and built a wonderful
yeah.
Meredith Hall. Yeah, okay. And the science building, Harvey Ingham, do they still call it Harvey Ingham?
Mm-hmm.
And Fitch Pharmacy. Yeah, those were fairly new buildings when I was there. But... the campus is a whole lot different. When I came back for, I guess it was our 50th anniversary, they took us on a tour of the campus, and one of the places they brought us was to this library where I had worked as a student assistant, and I couldn't even orient myself to
right.
what it's like now.
When you were a student assistant, what kind of tasks were you involved in at the library?
Oh, really interesting tasks. Checking out books. Shelving books, and then if there weren't any books to shelve, then I got to read the shelves to make uh-huh. sure that whoever had come before me and shelved them had put them back in the right place. And the woman who was head of the of that department, she was a dear sweet lady, and she used to bring us cookies. And I have a recipe for some of her cookies. What was her name? Mrs. Peake, Viola Peake, I think was her name. And she was very patient with me as I was learning how to be a student assistant.
Was that your only job on campus that you did then?
Well, Times Delphic paid, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So our dining hall is still Hubble. Did you guys have Hubble as well?
Well, see, I didn't live on campus, so I don't
right.
know where they ate.
Oh, so you, okay. Because, in between classes, people still don't eat, or people who don't live on campus still eat in Hubble sometimes.
Oh. Well, we used to go down to, do they still call it Dogtown? Down on University.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go down there. There were some restaurants down there. That's where we'd get our lunch. So I don't know if the dining hall was open to town students
right.
or not.
Mm-hmm.
Did you live far from campus?
Lived out in Highland Park. Do you know where that is? The north part of town.
Okay. How did you get to campus then every day?
Bus.
Mm-hmm.
City bus.
How far of a drive would it be then?
It took me about, well, I don't live in the same place I did, but I live about the same distance away. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to get here. Longer on the bus because you got to walk to the bus stop and then you got to wait till the bus gets there.
And then there stops.
Were all your classes then in like back-to-back order, or did you have any like free time in between classes?
Usually free time, yeah. I think I tried to sign up for classes that didn't cause me to have to dash from one classroom to another.
And were there like large gaps in between summer classes where you could study?
Maybe. I don't remember. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I remember coming to the library to study, but I don't know when that was, whether it was between classes or on a day when I didn't have a class. I don't know.
What do you remember about people saying about the dorms? Do you remember any thoughts on the dorms or any of the rules the dorms had that were extreme?
They probably talked about those things, but didn't impact me, so I probably don't remember. They were not co-ed in those days. You know, there was a girls' dorm and there was a boys' dorm, and never the twain shall meet. Panty raids. They used to have panty raids. Do you know about panty raids?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I'm not quite sure how they worked, but it would be that the boys would go up the fire escapes or something and try to get into the girls' dorms. And
that's funny.
I don't know how it worked.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be, oh, my God, a panty raid. But really, the girls were kind of excited about it, too.
And the women's gym, what do you remember about the women's gym?
That it wasn't as nice as the field house, which was the boys' gym. Mm-hmm. And I do remember the head of the phys ed department. Her name was Ruby Holton. And she later, or maybe at the same time, served on the Des Moines City Council. And she was a feminist before her time, encouraged us to be who we wanted to be and not be subservient to anybody else.
Yeah.
So she was a strong woman. But I don't remember much about the building. There were lockers and there was a gym, and I wasn't much interested in playing any of the basketball or volleyball or something. I don't remember what I did. Modern dance. I took a modern dance class.
What was that like?
Kind of boring. PE was something I had to do.
Oh, okay.
It was a requirement. You had to take so many hours of PE before you could graduate, so I did.
Did you have to take that for all 4 years?
I don't think so.
No.
I think just a certain number of hours total.
It's definitely not a requirement now.
What other classes did you take that really, like, inspired you or affected you?
Did I talk about the instructor who came here from somewhere in Kansas City or something and taught us social science, which was kind of a conglomeration of anthropology and sociology and a lot of stuff. He impacted me, I think, helping me to get a more global view. That there were a lot of people in a lot of different parts of the world that who had different customs than we had and spoke different languages and didn't really care what we were doing. And so he broadened my view of the world. He also converted me from a mindless Republican to a committed Democrat. I was a Republican because my mom and dad were Republicans.
Right.
What do I know? And when he talked about some of the injustices that were going on in our society and others, that made me think that maybe there was more that the Democrats were trying to do to solve that than the Republicans were. Probably was not true in those days, but I think it is today.
Do you remember who the president of Drake at that time was?
Yes, Henry Harmon. Mm-hmm. And his daughter was a friend of mine, Jean Harmon. And she's dead now. She died several years ago. We used to keep up you know, just Christmas cards mostly. But yeah. We were friends when we were students here.
So President Maxwell for us is very involved. Was President Hartman as well?
Not in the same way that David Maxwell is. I think the expectation of a college president maybe was a little different then. He was not uninvolved.
Right.
But David Maxwell is just everywhere, isn't he? He is a people person. Yeah, and Dr. Hartman wasn't really like that, but he was approachable. But I think you are so lucky to have David Maxwell as your president. I just think he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So did you have a good relationship with Henry Hartman then, or...?
Didn't really have a particularly relationship, yeah, mm-hmm. just through Jean.
Yeah.
But that didn't get me any entree to being any closer to the president than anybody else.
Bragging rights.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to add or any other stories?
I think you've covered a lot of things that I wouldn't even have thought of. When I knew that I was going to be interviewed, I thought about digging out my old yearbooks and some other stuff, and I thought, no, this is their agenda. They have their questions. I don't need to do any homework.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think there's anything else.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
I think I'm okay.
I guess I want to know, like, through the years, has there been any, like, interviews that you've had with people that have, like, really been influential or... something like that.
In my capacity as a journalist, yeah. You mean? Oh.
Or stories you've covered?
You know, all those feature stories that I told you about mm-hmm. were interesting to me at the time, mm-hmm. but I can't remember. My mother saved boxes of the clippings of the articles and photos that I took, or I didn't take the pictures. So they're probably in my attic somewhere, but I can't remember any of them. I think the one I remember most was some fellow who had a model train hobby, and his whole basement, this still goes on, I've met other people since then, whole basement was laid out with railroad tracks and little houses and little... bridges and little forests, and all the trains would run around in different ways, and then the night would fall, and then the lights would come up again, and I thought, get a life.
Sounds like a lot of work.
You said also that you've been doing a lot of community service mm-hmm. since. What are the kind of community services?
Oh, well, for a while I was on the board of Planned Parenthood, which in those days was Planned Parenthood of Mid-Iowa. Now it's Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. It covers a lot more territory. But that was very interesting. I've been active in the Democratic Party. I've been on the Polk County Central Committee, which doesn't require much of me except to go to meetings every month. Well, I have to preside now when we have our caucus on January 3rd, but that'll be easy. 4 years ago, it was quite a challenge
really?
To preside at the caucus because normally at our caucus, I live in a part of town where people aren't real politically active. And normally, we might have 8 or 10 people. But 4 years ago, 3 years ago, when Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were duking it out, I think we had 80 people at our little caucus, and I didn't know how to manage that because it was more people than I was expecting. Let's see, what else have I done? A member of American Association of University Women, and... was president of that, the Des Moines branch at one time. Member of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, also served my dutiful term as president of that for a while. Lately, I've been working on a Middle East peace education project with the American Friends Service Committee, which is the most daunting and frustrating endeavor I think I've ever been a part of. I don't know what the answers are going to be to that, and I don't know who knows. Done a lot of church work. This is an example of not knowing what I want to be when I grow up. I've been a director of a United Methodist campsite, a program director, the one that planned the curriculum and got counselors to come with, be with the kids and stuff. And also was the director of Hawthorne Hill Ministries for a while. Have you ever heard of that? It's at the time, it was in a building downtown, great big old building, and we had three different shelters there, an emergency shelter for women and children, and a youth shelter, and a shelter for women coming out of prison, which now has, those other two have spun off and they're on their own in other places. But Hawthorne Hill still runs the New Directions shelter for women and children. And we had a food pantry, and we had English as second language classes, and we had clothing closet and all kinds of stuff going on in this old building. I got paid to do that. That was not a volunteer job. That's enough.
Been busy.
Right. And I told you about my new post-retirement yes. career, marking prices in books for Planned Parenthood. I think that's going to be fun. I've been active in my church in working for full inclusion of LGBT people in our denomination. I'm a United Methodist, and in our book of discipline it says that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching, which I just think is horrible language. And so for many years, there's been a movement to try to get those words removed from the Book of Discipline. And that those words have also caused other restrictions to be put into the Book of Discipline, that clergy can't be homosexual and clergy can't perform same-sex marriages. And we just need to get over it. So I went to a national conference last August with several other people from Iowa working on trying to strategize, you know, how can we make this happen? How can our small group reach out, get more people interested, and especially reach the people who are going to be voting on this next April? See if we can get that changed. So that now really is enough. It makes me tired just to tell you all this.
Okay. Any last questions? Okay. Is there anything else you want to add? Think of?
I just want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you.
This has been fun for me to kind of review my life and get acquainted with both of you. Is it time for your next interview now? No, it's only 1:45.
I've gone for 45 minutes.
Okay.
Must have started early.